Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to the Upper Hand Fantasy Podcast. Now, here's your host, Faraz Siddiqui and Zach Rizzuto.
All right, guys, we are back. We're going to be talking about day two of free agency, day three of free agency. If you haven't heard our podcast from a couple of days ago, we reviewed everything from day one, from Monday. Zach, like, it was a little bit of a slow start, admittedly, right?
Yeah.
But but how are we feeling now, kind of 4 days in? Actually, no, we're kind of 3.5 days in at this point.
Yeah, no, much better. I mean, it was a slow start. Like I said, we can concede that now. I mean, it was a lot of offensive linemen, you know, trench signings in the first day, and then a couple defensive guys. But now things are kind of coming along. We've seen some more skilled players move around, notably Jacoby Myers, and a couple trades that went down, moving other players. And we know that your guy, Aaron Rodgers, you know, he's supposed to be going to New York. That's pretty big.
That was big, man. So, you know, obviously, you know, the entire sports world, you know, dropped whatever they were doing at 1 p.m. Eastern time yesterday to tune into the Pat McAfee show. The dude had 500,000 concurrent viewers at one point for that, which is absolutely unbelievable. Like, what Pat McAfee built is amazing. Just a little side note there, right? That's goals right there. That's awesome. So cool. Like, his platform is amazing. And, you know, someone like Aaron Rodgers, like, he's getting cool with someone like that who's willing to drop bombs, you know, on that show. You know, it's funny because as soon as he joins, he's like, you know, kind of saying that this is not going to be an announcement, and everyone's like, oh man, like, what is he going to talk about? But he did kind of drop a bomb, right? And that bomb was that he fully intends to play with the Jets. He said that he went into the bunker he went into the darkness, you know, kind of 80 what he said 80% did he say 80%
90% that he was, he said
90% leaning towards him retiring. And then he came out. He saw that the Packers were, you know, there was no communication. The Packers were kind of wanted to move on. It wasn't properly communicated to Rodgers. And I kind of feel like that's what made his decision to come back and play for a different team. And he said he fully intends to play with the Jets this year, which is music to my ears. And it makes, you know, the signing of Alan Lazard, you know, was something that me and you both talked about, not the best signing in the world, in both of our opinions, like, kind of, you know, overpriced, not the best receiver. I think he'll be fine now, because if Aaron Rodgers is going to be our quarterback this year, like, I'm cool with it, dude. Bring back, you know, JerMichael Finley, you know, bring back Donald Driver. Like,
Greg Jennings.
I don't care. You know what I'm saying? Greg Jennings, like, bring them all back. It's all good. But I'm happy about it, dude. I'm happy about it. You know, finally, you know, we get a little bit of closure. Like you said, nothing's official at this point, but it's looking like Aaron Rodgers is going to be a Jet.
Yeah, and I knew that you'd be happy about this news. And like you said, it's not official, but it feels official at this point. And this is exactly what Aaron Rodgers wanted all of us to do, because once again, he's the lead. He not only a talking point, he's the lead talking point on this podcast. I'm sure he's the lead talking point on plenty of other podcasts too. You know what I'm saying? So this is like music to his ears. I'm sure he's very glad to have that happen. But Alan Lazard, definitely a little overpaid, but if that's what it takes to get Aaron Rodgers to come to the team, in a vacuum, it's a bad signing. But when you figure the context into it, okay, Aaron Rodgers is going to come to the team. Yeah, It's a fine signing. You'll live with it. He'll be a nice wide receiver two or three. I mean, depending on how Elijah Moore turns out, you know, he might even be part of the deal. He might not be around by the time they actually hit the field. But Aaron Rodgers with Garrett Wilson and Breece Hall and all those weapons that they have now, Alan Lazard even. Alan Lazard isn't bad. It's just he might not be worth what he got paid, but Alan Lazard got a little bit of a helping hand from his boy Aaron Rodgers, definitely, I think, in terms of getting that bag. So I'm not worried about anything fantasy related now. If Aaron Rodgers goes to the Jets, I think it's going to be a huge upgrade from what we saw last season. And if you look at Garrett Wilson's last season, like, it wasn't even that bad. And that was with a turnstile at quarterback. And Zach Wilson played for some of those games too. It wasn't fantastic. So I have big expectations for the Jets players and Garrett Wilson and everybody, even Aaron Rodgers. You know, he should have a much better season than he did last season with the Packers.
I would think so, because, you know, Aaron Rodgers didn't have a true number one last year, right? Christian Watson came on towards the end of the year, but he was more of a big play guy, right? And, you know, not a true number one wide receiver just yet. I think Christian Watson can turn into that. But Garrett Wilson was already a number one wide receiver last year. And now going into his second year, you got to expect him to take a major jump. You know, and we'll get into a lot of the fantasy implications of the entire Jets offense, you know, once Aaron Rodgers officially signs, but, you know, it's really not that complicated. You know, I think Garrett Wilson can be a fantasy wide receiver, one top 12 wide receiver, you know, with Aaron Rodgers. He was almost that last year, pretty much, like, in games without Zach Wilson. So, so he's already going to get it done. He's going to be the target funnel. We know that Aaron Rodgers, if he has a number one, you know, obviously in Devonta Adams, he was his target funnel, 13, 14, 15 targets at games at times. So, you know, I'm very excited to see what Garrett Wilson's capable of. And I'm hoping that Elijah Moore can take a step forward. Josina Anderson seemed pretty confident that Elijah Moore is not going to be part of this deal to go over to Green Bay. You know, take that for what it's worth. She's a pretty reliable source. But she, you know, somebody asked her straight up on Twitter and she quote tweeted it and said, no, he's not part of the deal. But, you know, it looks like they're still negotiating at this point, according to Aaron Rodgers yesterday. So you never know. She said this a couple days ago. So who knows where they're at now in on the negotiation table. So at this point, it's up to the Jets and the Packers to figure out what the compensation is going to be. And, you know, we'll go from there. But Alan Lazard, you know, like you said, a little bit of an overpay there. You know, what was it, 4 years, $44 million? I think that's what it was for. You know, and it is what it is. You know, if you know, this is a good thing though, because the Jets have been recruiting Aaron Rodgers from a long. Like, as soon as they hired Nathaniel Hackett, right? As soon as that happened, and you saw yesterday on the show, on Pat McAfee's show, he said that Nathaniel Hackett is one of the biggest reasons why he wants to join the Jets, right? So he's going to have Hackett. He's going to have his boy Lazard. You know, he was talking so good about Lazard. He's like, yeah, he's a good player, but he's just a great guy. You know, so like, that's his boy, right? So so that's cool to see. Whatever, we'll take it. But yeah, man, it's good. I'm happy. Yeah. Now, I do want to move on to a couple other wide receivers who got signed. And it's an interesting situation. You know, after Jimmy G, you know, got signed by the Raiders, he now has a new wide receiver in Jacoby Myers. And it's interesting because Jacoby Myers left on a 3-year, $33 million deal to the Raiders. Decent guaranteed money. And we just thought that, you know, like, I personally thought that was a little bit of an underpay. I thought he would get a lot more money considering the Christian Kirk deal last year. Yeah. I thought Jacoby Myers was a very similar or potentially even better receiver than Christian Kirk. You know, he has that potential to kind of like break away a little bit. Didn't do it yet in his career yet, obviously. I think Christian Kirk had a better career than him, obviously, but it could have happened. So I was a little surprised by that deal. And then a day later, you got Juju Smith-Schuster signing with the Patriots on the same deal. 3 years, $33 million. And Jacoby Myers on Twitter quote tweeted, you know, whoever it was who put out the report that Juju signed, and he said, and he was like, it's a cold world or something like that, right? And it's like, and it's so interesting because, I mean, I don't know about you, I feel like Jacoby Myers is a better wide receiver than Juju Smith-Schuster. And the fact that they signed the same deal, it seems like Jacoby would have had no problem staying, according to that tweet. and right. the Patriots just replaced him with Juju.
Yeah. So a couple of things come to mind seeing all of this happen. You know, first, I wouldn't say Jakobi Meyers is like head and shoulders above Juju Smith-Schuster. I put them probably right on the same tier if I were ranking receivers right now, which I'm not, but that's where I would put him. I think that it was a little bit of an underpay, though. I think that both of the receivers could have made a little bit more. The thing that jumped into my mind, though, when I saw him tweet that it's a cold world, it's just like, you got to wonder if that sour taste from that Raiders game was sitting in their mouth. You know what I'm saying? The Patriots, when they were trying to let him go, because we all know what happened with Jakobi Meyers. I saw a post. It was funny that they put out. It said, Jakobi Meyers is the first player in NFL history to throw a game-winning touchdown pass for a team before he signed with them. So, if you remember that, the whole Jakobi Meyers.
It was a thank you.
Yeah.
It was a thank you. The Raiders said, thank you. Here's some money. And come join us.
Yeah.
Did you want to be part of our team so badly?
Right. I thought Jakobi Meyers would get a much bigger deal. I thought it would be more in the range of like 4 years, $60 million, somewhere like that.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure.
I wouldn't have been surprised if that was the case.
Yeah. So I was, like you said, I was definitely caught off guard a little bit by the price. But just the fact that they brought Juju in, I don't think there was any type of subtleness about that. I think the Patriots just wanted to move on for Jakobi Meyers. It was just a bad turn of events for him. Jakobi Meyers still got paid plenty of money. You know, he's getting a lot of money over in Las Vegas, but I think he could have got more. But he's over there with Jimmy G now. So I think he's going to be fine there. I was worried about him going to Las Vegas when Darren Waller was there. But then, what was it? Was it a couple hours later they traded Darren Waller? So now I feel like Jakobi Meyers is going to be a little bit more of a focal point in that offense, especially working alongside Davante Adams. Like, he's a solid guy. He was doing his thing. He was pretty much a de facto wide receiver one in New England. Can't really have a wide receiver one with Mac Jones. But, you know, he was doing what he needed to do. I think as a wide receiver, too, he has a chance to really flourish, especially in an offense that's just going to be overall better. And then Juju Smith-Schuster, he's going to take the role of Jakobi Meyers pretty much, I think, in that offense as well. So I'm not sure if they're going to draft anyone, if they're going to trade for DeAndre Hopkins. I know it said there have been reports saying that the Patriots have been calling about DeAndre Hopkins. And there was another receiver. Jerry Jeudy, that's what it was. I don't know if they bring anybody else in, but as of right now, I think Juju's going to do better in that role than Jakobi Meyers did. And Jakobi Meyers was doing just fine. So I'm not worried about either of them where they ended up, but it is an interesting situation surrounding how they landed in their respective teams.
Yeah, I would expect, me personally, I don't think, you know, Juju's going to have a better season than Jakobi Meyers did. I think Jakobi Meyers is just a better overall player, especially against man coverage and that sort of thing. And, you know, Juju really, really good against zone coverage. And, you know, that's where he'll flourish. And, you know, maybe that's what, you know, the teams are playing a lot more zone than they are man, you know, over the last couple of years. So, you know, maybe Bill Belichick is kind of, you know, leaning that direction. But
right.
you also can't really trust Bill Belichick's wide receiver evaluation, considering his track record over the last 5 or 6 years drafting and signing guys.
Any draft with the Patriots has been really odd. I mean, Cole Strange, just even last year, not even receivers, just overall the prospects like that they're bringing in. It's just been a little bit off recently. You know, even Mac Jones. I know Mac Jones is Mac Jones. You know, obviously he was one of the top quarterbacks.
He was going to get drafted regardless, you know, early, you know.
But as things stand right now, it seems like he's one of the lower ceiling quarterbacks. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
Zach Wilson was in that class. So you can't paint them with the worst of those signings, but still, it's just interesting.
Hey, man, if Zach Wilson went to the Patriots, he would have been top 10 quarterback. You know that.
You think so?
No,
I mean,
I don't.
Now, I know that he went to the Jets when the Jets were down. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So you kind of got to give him a mulligan there, but at the same time, it just doesn't look, he doesn't look the same as he did in college. Nothing's there.
His confidence is just shot, dude. Like, I don't know. You know, I hope that, you know, sitting behind her hand, right? I keep seeing the quotes of
the quote,
like,
yeah.
Zach Wilson said last season he said, you know, whoever, if they bring in a veteran, you know, I'm gonna give him hell in practice. And then I don't know who, I forgot who I saw, like who tweeted it, but said they put that quote up and they said, "Welcome to hell, Aaron." So
hopefully you can teach him a thing or two. Maybe Zach Wilson, like we said, Zach Wilson might be on that Geno Smith career arc. You never know anymore.
You never know. But just going back real quick. So Jakobi Meyers, I think at this point, like you mentioned, Darren Waller got traded to the Giants couple hours after Jakobi left. and joined the Raiders. So he joined a crowded, you know, receiving room, but now it's just basically him, who I think will be the number two behind Devontae Adams, and then Hunter mm-hmm. Renfrow. So I'm assuming that, you know, Jacoby Myers and Hunter Renfrow will kind of alternate outside inside, with Hunter Renfrow probably being the primary slot guy, because Jacoby Myers has some chops against man coverage. So I wouldn't be surprised if he is primarily their Z. I would probably consider him the flanker, kind of playing off the line a little bit. And then, you know, Jacoby Myers being the slot guy. That's kind of how I envision it. And I think he'll be number two in targets, you know, pretty easily behind Devontae Adams at this point.
Right. And we had talked about Jacoby Myers even last season being like way underpriced in drafts. You know, I don't think he was even being drafted. And I think that was just because he was on the Patriots. I think we'll see him definitely shoot up boards a little bit this season on a better offense, I think.
I could see it. My only concern, though, is that he doesn't see the target share that he was getting with Devontae Adams there, because Devontae Adams is going to see a, you know, 27-28% target share. You know, Jacoby was getting, you know, 24-25%, and he's that kind of guy. And I would have assumed that he would continue to get that type of target share if he was like close to the number one wide receiver on whatever team he went to. But him going as number two, I still think it's solid. I think if there was a better quarterback behind center, I think that I would definitely be more excited about it, because, you know, anytime you have a number two playing behind Devontae Adams with a better quarterback, you know, that wide receiver is going to see a lot of matchup advantages. And I think that's still going to be the case. He's going to have his games. I just don't know how much upside, you know, he's really going to have. That's my only concern there.
If only they had a guy like Derek Carr.
Oh, man. And say, you know, same thing with Juju as well, you know, like, you know, I'm not really excited about him. If he couldn't get it done for the most part in Kansas City, I don't think he's going to get it done here in New England. Okay, so we got Darren Waller going to the Giants here. The Giants finally released Kenny Golladay, right? Someone who is just taking up space on their roster. About time. It was almost like he wasn't on the team to begin with.
He was.
But now you got Darren Waller there. Like, they still have Richie James. They still have Darius Slayton. They still have Sterling Shepard. You know, they still have Isaiah Hodgins.
Yeah. Big names.
It seems to me like at this point, if Darren Waller stays healthy, I think that's the big question mark. Mm-hmm. If he stays healthy, at this point, he's probably their target leader. Now, I would assume that they try to add some wide receiver help in the draft. That's where I would be focusing on. If you're going to pay Daniel Jones that much money, like, I would be aiming for one of these top wide receivers if I'm the Giants, you know, in the draft. So I would assume that's going to happen. But as of now, Darren Waller is probably the target leader. Would you agree?
Yeah, I'm 100% with you. And I could have a whole conversation about the Daniel Jones contract. It's just crazy. I think they paid him a lot of money for what they given him, but that, I digress. We're not going to go on to that. Darren Waller, I agree. He's going to be the number one target in this offense. I mean, regardless of whether he's playing tight end, lining up at the slot, even, you know, we'll see how they use him. But not only is he the most experienced, maybe the most athletic of this group, he's the biggest guy on the field, pretty much, that's going to be running down the seam. I think Daniel Jones is going to settle in with him pretty nicely, at least in the passing game. I think Darren Waller is going to be just fine. I think his prospects are much better because his usage, even when he was healthy down in Las Vegas with Devontae Adams there, wasn't fantastic. So I think here he has a much better shot of getting that target share, which we look for receiving guys just in general, not just tight ends, but receivers overall. So I like this move for the Giants. I thought it was really good. They got him for a third round pick. Like, that's cheap for a guy. He's still pretty young. You know, he's definitely not out of his prime. He's just had a little trouble with injuries, and they're banking on him staying healthy. I think that was a risk worth taking. Rolling the dice here definitely made their offense better if he can stay on the field.
Yeah, I trust Brian Daboll to put him in some good spots, you know, for him to be successful there. As long as he can stay healthy, I think he can be, you know, potentially back in the top five of tight ends. As long as he can stay healthy, he has that ability. And I think he should be fine there.
2400 Sports is an Odyssey company.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.